with your hosts Matt Moore and Matt Mastromaro.
What do any of you know about being brutal?
Featuring Massachusetts metal and punk.
Those lyrics about hell, demons, and doom. What if I told you it's all real?
WMFO Medford.
What the prime time, bitch?
Good morning. Welcome to Brutal Brunch, WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. You can always tell by how long the intro plays that how prepared the DJs are to go on the air.
Not very. I was at Starbucks this morning finishing up a very tight metal history.
I'm sure it'll be all worth it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But welcome back to the show.
Good to be back.
Matt is back. Fresh off another wedding.
So many weddings. I had a wedding.
I thought we were done with these.
No, they're never done. This is going to be even more next year. I got like a, what's called a death march of weddings starting at the end of May. It's going to go like through August next year. But, including mine, which is like, and just adding to the enormity of the event, much like the Hindenburg disaster. Yeah, good time. It was out in, Western Mass, kind of like Sturbridge Village area. Nice little park. Pretty chill. Pretty chill, like, afternoon wedding. I really appreciate it, because you can go to bed at, like, 10.
Yes. You know? Very nice.
Yeah, because I'm old. And last night, kind of like a non-wedding, like, party that's like, oh, we're having a really small wedding, so you people who aren't in the inner circle, you come to this thing, and then we'll have our real wedding later. So that was fun, too. That was down in Brockton, which is, like, a 2.5-hour drive from Salem in the afternoon. I love it. I love. I love that story. I'm sure we'll get into it about those guys from Malden who stole the Red Sox championship banner. I think they ended up on a... Well, we'll get into it, but they were on the Sports Hub more because I was listening to... Obviously,
I know,
Rich,
they called
found
it somewhere.
Them.
Yeah.
But like, then like some research was done on those guys, and like, not nice dudes.
The three kings of Malden.
Yeah, the three kings. Oh, the third king. From last night at Oak Grove, I think.
Like you said, we'll touch about the story later. Initially, there were three guys mentioned in the article. Then the video came out, there were only two guys.
Ooh.
Third one is like...
He wanted too much
out of the spotlight.
He wanted too much of a cut.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, we have that to get through some other sports, such as the, clearly, in my opinion, the best story in baseball in 2018.
Red Sox clinch. My dad watched every game this season. Every single game. He's the only human being who watched every baseball game.
So we watched him get swept by the Rays?
Yep.
On their march to...
Matt, every game. I think he missed one game because he was, like, ill. You know, like, he watched every single baseball game from start to finish. And it's psychotic.
Would he call in the next day?
No. He's never been a sports radio guy. Surprise. Like, he listens to sports radio, but never, like, one of the guys who's like, hey, I'm here to talk about the relief staff. We got to get this guy. Do you think we could trade these... two nobody prospects for like
for Manny Machado.
The best closer in the league, please. No, shockingly.
All right, we'll get to that. In the meantime, we have more music to play. We have more new music. If you want to call the numbers here, 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636, or 781-350-3264. We got a brand new album from Sonic Pulse. Oh, by the way, you missed Thunder Forge last week.
I did miss
a bunch
it.
Of music.
I see that there's another great band on today's list.
We will get there. But in the meantime, Sonic Pulse has released their album, the new album, Versus the Internet. So Sonic Pulse versus the Internet.
Hell yeah.
And going to play a track. This is one of those albums where they've like released one-off singles and EPs and things like that. And like half the album is a compilation of that stuff. So this is, I believe, one of the previously unreleased tracks called Brood Awakening. And you're hearing it on Brutal Brunch, WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org.
We'll be right back.
That was your one thrash song. That was your thrash quota for the day. That was Sonic Pulse, the brand new album versus the internet. That was Brood Awakening. And you're hearing it possibly first on Brutal Brunch, WMFO Medford, 91.5. I'm streaming live on WMFO.org. And now I suppose it is time.
Welcome to This Week in Metal History.
My last thrash song, he says, as I get ready for the Metal History segment, which will most certainly feature thrash. Anyway, Metal History segments, I was saying earlier, it was such a thick segment this morning that I was almost late for the show. So, here we go. September 16th to 21st, the things that I find interesting in this week in metal history and other history, I guess, is some more other history this week. First, Matt, do you like Charles Bronson?
No.
Why? You have an opinion on Charles Bronson, and the opinion is no?
I would expect. I hate those movies. I don't find those movies entertaining.
You don't like the Death Wish movies?
No.
All right, so this is a trailer for Charles Bronson's Messenger of Death, which is not Death Wish, which came out this week 35 years ago. Whoops.
Uh-oh.
Here's the problem. There it is.
Unmarked.
As I said, it is unmarked, so who knows what will happen. Is that coming out? It's got to be two. Charles Bronson's Messenger of Death, obviously a classic Bronson revenge trailer. Where he, I don't know, drives a brown car, murders the hell out of everybody.
That's quite the informative trailer going on.
I know, really bad trailer. More importantly, this week in 88, the premiere of one of my favorite cartoons of all time.
Ladies and gentlemen, Garfield and friends.
Speaking of things I don't like.
You don't like the Garfield and Friends show?
I don't like anything about Garfield.
The show's great, though, because I had Lorenzo Music, a.k.a. Peter Venkman from the Ghostbusters cartoon, as Garfield. Great stuff. U.S. Acres, the pig.
Going on something else?
Little egg. What, you don't like U.S. Acres? You don't like
Ghostbusters? I was going to say Ghostbusters. I watched it once, and I was approximately 5 years old.
Have you ever seen Ghostbusters 2?
Never.
I think Ghostbusters 2 is better. I think it's more of a cartoon. I think that movie's a cartoon, and I think they should have leaned into it more. no clip for this.
Sorry to rain on your metal fine. History so far.
It's fine. It's fine, man. I've
never done that before.
That's how it goes every week. This week in 98, also, Capcom releases the Resident Evil 1 DualShock Edition to work with their new DualShock controller, which meant it had two analog sticks as opposed to one. To kind of like make up for the delay. I think Resident Evil 2 was taking a very long time. But I bring this up because Capcom will come up later in this Week in Metal.
It's a big market tease right there.
And there was actually some interesting news that came out in the last couple weeks about kind of famous Capcom music producer who did the music for Resident Evil 2, Resident Evil 1, Onimusha, like a bunch of Capcom stuff. Mamoru Sakaguchi, I believe is how you pronounce it. I'm probably wrong. He was like extremely famous in Japan and overseas, obviously, for his exposure in some of these games, but also just as a composer. But his book was that he was like the Japanese Beethoven because he had always put himself off as being deaf. And recently, within the last month or so, came out that he's not deaf. And it also came out that he's basically been paying a guy for the last 10 years to compose all the music that he's been putting out under his name. So
wait, so would he pretend to so he could just ignore people? Or was he doing it for
I think
that
he was
Beethoven
pretending
theme
it,
aspect?
I think he must have. Here's my theory, which is not founded by any sort of fact. So let's just start with allegedly.
That's what we do here.
Is that he probably said it one time as a joke and then got locked into the joke for 20 years, and now has to like unload his shame. September 16th, 1988, getting into music, Napalm Death releases the album for Enslavement to Obliteration.
You were rocking out to the music. You like music, man?
I love music. I love every kind of music, but recently I've really started to get into this thrash metal music.
The most 90s thing of all time, which is Jim Carrey doing an interview on Arsenio Hall about how much he likes Napalm Death.
I don't know, there's something about it, man, that I just can't let go.
Okay, so that's Jim Carrey, and here's the actual song. You said I wasn't going to get thrash on the show, fool!
Napalm Death is more grind, though.
Well, look, this is 88, so there wasn't a lot of genres. We've now gone back in time and placed genres on things. But yes, I agree with you, I guess, as a historian. I love that clip of Jim Carrey on Arsenio Hall.
Well, and you know that because there was that whole thing with Cannibal Corpse on in Ace Ventura.
I don't, actually.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Have you seen Ace Ventura?
Yes.
Well, at one point he goes to a club and there's a band playing, metal band, and that's Cannibal Corpse. And then there's like photos of him hanging out with them on set. And the whole argument got resurrected recently about whether or not he was actually a death metal fan. He claims he was, and I think his son or something like that, for some reason, claims he wasn't.
Why?
I don't know. It's really weird.
You know, you can like a thing without like just like being into it 24/7.
Yeah. So apparently the conclusion is apparently that yes, he was an actual fan and they bonded on set.
That's hilarious. I've seen Ace Ventura obviously a bunch of times and probably not in like 20 years though. In fairness, now that I'm thinking about it. Huh. Matt, speaking of classics, September 18th, 1970, Black Sabbath releases the album Paranoid. I'm not going to play Paranoid. We're going to play a little bit of Hand of Doom.
We don't have to play anything.
We're going to play Hand of Doom a little bit, man. It's good. I'm playing not a song that gets like hours and hours of radio play, but I think it's still a good Sabbath song. It's a song I think you would like. Mm. This fits with your agenda.
Mm.
Listen to this. What if instead of Ozzy, Peter Steele showed up on this track? Would you like it then?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, same. It's slow. Matt, let me lighten the mood here a little bit. Let me bring it up a little bit.
I didn't know we were down.
Oh, we were. September 18th, 1983, Dokken releases Breaking the Chains. Got to tease your hair out. Got to break the chains. I believe Tawny Katane is in this video. I'm going to scroll forward a little bit. No? Obviously, Dokken, a band that always gets mentioned on this particular segment because they did the song from Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warrior. And, is like one of those bands that's like very 80s. Like, it's not. If you were to say, give me your biggest like hair metal 80s band or whatever, you would say, like, I don't know, Poison or Def Leppard or something. But if you were to say, let me listen to the most 80s thing of all time, I would just say Dokken because it's everything. It's like high, like anthemic songs like this, it's like cheesy love songs. Mm-hmm. This song's fantastic. It's like they're rocking, but they're not rocking hard enough. You want them to... Come on! Restrained 80s hair metal is Dokken.
There you go.
That's my genre, restrained 80s hair metal.
That's your vocal genre, right? That's like your vocal range?
That's my range. So the top of that is that, and then the bottom of it is like, I guess, Godstap. So it's either that. It's one or the other. September 18th, 1989. Shout out to the This Week in Metal Twitter account where I found this.
Did he come back?
He's back. He's back. He went on. I remember, I was like, look at it. He went on high. He was like really mad at something. He's back. He notes that on September 18th, 1989, the Swiss thrash metal band against 89, Coroner, releases the album No More Color. So, a band I've heard nothing about. They started as the road team for Celtic Frost.
Okay.
Then, as time went on, and I guess starting with this album, they would incorporate different influences into their music. So they've been described as like the thrash metal rush. It's like a lot of jazz, I guess, a lot of classical influences in their music. Kind of, I tried to pick one that I think hit those notes out of this album, No More Color. It's fun. Later albums, they just kept getting more industrial and more, like, even, like, noise-based. Like, kind of an interesting band that...
Who is this again?
Coroner.
That kind of sounds like the beginning of,
I mean, that sounds like Rush.
This does. But the opening sound like Metallica, like,
Oh, yeah. No?
The American Badass song. What's the song that Kid Rock sampled in town?
Oh, Roland? Are you talking about Roland?
No, Kid Rock's American Badass samples a Metallica song.
You stumped me. You stumped the Schwab here. I'm trying to think of it in my mind, and I can't do it. We'll have to come up with it later. Or you can come up with it now. I think Coroner's good. I agree with the This Week in Metal Twitter account guy, even though I think when he posts from his personal account and some statements he made that I think we would not agree.
Really?
Yeah, but... we agree musically, I guess.
So he's not like Grim Kim?
No. He's like the opposite.
Sad but true.
Really?
By Metallica.
I don't hear that. I don't hear that there. I mean, I know the song, but I don't hear that
intro
in what I just played. Matt. Speaking of stuff Matt likes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Vibe.
That concludes the show for this week.
Nope. Incredible. Kiss releases September 18th, 1983. Kiss releases the single Lick It Up. What a disgusting song. What a disgusting band. I love it. It's also like the point when they took their makeup off, so they look like true ghouls. Like a couple of the ugliest people that I think ever lived. God bless them, I guess. Man, September 18th, 2007, as I said, there'd be more Capcom. The band Suicide Silence releases the debut album, The Cleansing, which I'm not going to play. There's a story recently on Kotaku that Suicide Silence had partnered with Capcom to do a song for the new Devil May Cry game, a series that I... Do you like... Are you a Devil May Cry guy?
I've never played it.
Yeah. They've like really kind of changed over the years. Like, it started out as like Resident Evil, but like with more guns, and then it's become like I don't know, like
survival horror or more adventure.
It's more like action. It's more like the genre is actually hard stylish action is what they've described it as, which I really like to say. But yeah, basically like an action game where you're like flipping around doing combos and stuff like that. But they had partnered with Suicide Silence to put out a track called Subhuman, which would be like, so like the premise is like you're like a half demon, half angel dude, so you're like fresh as hell, but you're like also like an idiot and you like pizza and you're always listening to metal. So like when you get into fights, even as back as the early game, and they came out in like 99, like whenever like bad guys would show up, like whatever was popular metal at the time would just start playing, and it was always kind of cheesy, you know. It was never like the kind of like cutting edge because it's video games. And so like they debuted this album, or they debuted the song. Capcom like put out a trailer with the song in it, and people were like fired up because one, I think the song's pretty bad. I don't love it. And two, it was
original for the game.
Original for the game. Two, controversy, which I think came last year, where the lead singer of Suicide Silence was. It's kind of unclear reporting, but basically, essentially, it was like he was enticing or like manipulating a young female fan over the internet. It was like really gross. And there was like a series of texts and Twitter DMs and so forth that kind of like documented the whole thing. So,
yes,
whatever to that guy. Man, more importantly, September 19th, 1985, Dee Snider appears before the U.S. Senate in connection with Tipper Gore and the, I think it's the Parents Resource Musical Council, the PRMC. And he puts on a presentation for the Senate to tell them that, hey,
I don't know.
Twisted Sister's okay. One of the greatest scenes in the history of like things that have happened in the Senate, just Dee Snider, who's like, you forget, like, because they dressed up like ladies and it was like, haha, so funny, but like, Dee Snider's like 6'5". He's this huge, like, New Jersey, like, monster man. He walks into the Senate as he's playing in the background here. Tipper Gore had classified, I think, the album Twisted Sister had put out. That had like I Want to Rock and
Before I Get Into That
love songs
I'd
on
like
it
to tell a committee
as porn
myself.
Rock, like it was like beyond classification, like this married, is beyond the porn son. Rock Twisted Sister, like
born and raised
childish country, silly fun
believe it or not, I do not.
And he walked in with his like outrageous bleach blonde hair with the roots showing and just like kind of shut them down, I guess. But at the same time, the RAA was already like doing their kind of thing where they said, like, look, we don't want the government to come in and regulate music, so we'll kind of make our own thing and regulate it ourselves and label it ourselves. So there had been a number of artists who were supposed to go and testify before the Senate, but the labels had said, you don't have to because here's the kind of overall corporate plan, but nobody told Dee Snider, so he was there by himself. Him and John Denver, actually, were there during those hearings. September 21st, 1987.
This is... I think illustrates how ridiculous it was in hindsight, because it wasn't even like a satanic panic thing. It was like drugs and
it was like
weird
sex
sexuality.
And stuff.
And,
yeah.
Yeah,
she didn't like him because he was dressed up like a beautiful woman. She was like afraid of Dee Snider. Stupid. September 21st, 1987. I mean, I was one. I can't. I know that I sound old, but I didn't live through this event. September 21st, 1987. Shock Paris releases the album Steel and Starlight. Obviously, I love this song. This was featured, and I was talking to Matt before this, the number one horror movie historian, in the film The Hidden, starring Kyle MacLachlan. A great movie, kind of like The Crazies, I guess. You seen The Crazies?
Yeah.
Both versions?
Both. Where, new, like, one's better.
I really like the new one with Justified there as the sheriff. I love that.
Oliphant.
Yeah. And, yeah, basically like a film where people just, like, a guy, like, wakes up one day and, like, robs a bank and gets into a huge shootout with the cops. They kill him. He, like, wakes up from his hospital bed. Just like he's like the Terminator. It's basically like if normal people were turned to the Terminator for reasons. And Kyle MacLachlan is a detective. Matt, speaking of classics.
According to Wikipedia, it is an American science fiction action horror film.
I would... So it's too many genres.
Filled as horror.
Hard, stylish action. September 19th, 1986. Peace sells. Who's buying?
Not hey, as Matt. Many people as who were buying the Black Album.
Matt, peace sells, but who's buying?
Of course Danny Trejo is in that.
Of course he is.
And Lin Shaye.
He's in every movie. Man, now let's get down to it. Our boys, September 21st, 1999, Typo Negative releases the album World Coming Down, their fifth studio album, the only one, I think, to reach the top 40. One of their darkest albums. Peter Steele was going through a tough time. Like, a lot of his family members were passed away. A lot of folks he was friends with were addicted to narcotics or alcohol. So it's kind of reflected in this. But don't let that fool you. There's still a bunch of joke tracks on this album, which I always appreciate about Typo Negative. One track's just called Skip It, and if you bought the CD version, it would make the CD skipping noise, like the k-k-k-k. And if you bought the tape version, because you could still buy tapes for some reason in 1999.
Oh, you still can today.
I know you can.
All your favorite bands.
It would make the sound like the tape was getting eaten by your tape player. A couple of Beatles covers, just like a great album. This is Everyone I Love Is Dead by Typo Negative. Just the best. September 22nd, 1987. Speaking of our boys, and let's close it out. Creator releases the album Terrible Certainty. Man, much like there was a terrible certainty that Creator would always be on a list like this, here's Creator with No Escape off their album Terrible Certainty from 1987. That's This Week in Metal History. Thank you.
Thank you. Worth the wait.
Thank you.
That was excellent. Pat, so Peter Steele, that was like very emo. Emo song, emo album.
Yeah. He's a pretty emo guy towards the end. Like when he stopped being like, I guess like punk or rock. And it was just like, I'm going to sing like Dracula about my feelings.
All right. Well, we got just a quick concert calendar for you this week. Tonight, Saturday, September 22nd, at the Palladium, it's Counterparts, Being as an Ocean, Have Mercy, and Varials. That means the Philly Encore crew is going to show up.
Terrifying.
Midway Cafe. You got the Knockups, Titans of Industry, Sweet Cream, and Midi Myers, as in M-I-D-I, as in those sweet tracks that you used to embed in your e-wrestling promos.
Hell yeah.
On Sunday, September 23rd, that's tomorrow, at Uncharted, it's Los Bungalitos, Stop Loss, Spillers, Oh, the Humanity and Kind Crew. At the Middle East, two shows. In the afternoon, you got Agnostic Front and Death Before Dishonor, followed up by a show with Fear, Slapshot, and Pint Killers. On Tuesday, at the Palladium, you can see Obscura, Beyond Creation, Artspire, and Fairy Exist, The Last King, and Big at the Nephilim. Hopefully Artspire's instruments work this time, their computers. And on Friday, September 28th, at Bright Music Hall, it's Life of Agony with Silver Tomb.
Gotta get it, Dell.
All right, that's it.
That is a
that's
short it. Concert list. Guys, Creator slaps so hard. Because it is the first day of fall, I wanted to play some atmospheric black metal for everybody. So we're going to go Black Metal Song of the Week, which usually I think if there was like a list of all the black metal songs of the week, I feel like it would always trend towards industrial, horrifying, loud, like weird stuff. And then like maybe 2% would be like your rude. So rude.
Continue.
Would be your like more atmospheric stuff. Which I want to point out, Matt's wearing a Ghost Bath shirt right now. So Take that, haters. The haters said this would never happen. So with that in mind, here's Icelandic black metal band Aún.
Imagine yourselves over like the nice vast.
You're floating over an iceberg. You're looking down at a bunch of dead trees. You're very sad. It's cold. It's not gonna be as cold as I want today. But anyway, this is Aún with Verldhún. I pronounced all those words wrong. Black metal song of the week.
I can take care of myself. I can make a peanut butter sandwich. I can brush my teeth and I can walk home alone from school. I can pick dinner from the trash behind the deli. I can watch the baby for the whole weekend. I can keep a baseball bat by my bed just in case there's trouble. Don't worry about me. I can take care of myself.
If you're in jail, who'll be there to take care of your family? Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Matt has some thoughts on that video.
I want Pathogenic to appear before the Senate. That video, maybe.
Well, they're singing the band.
Upset. Very spooky stuff.
That was a song, Suicide Itch. It's a brand new video. I believe you could find the song previously. They would play it live, and there's some sort of digital EP floating around out there where you can listen to an alternate version. But anyway, that album is brand new from Pathogenic.
Good stuff.
And vocalist Jake Burns, that he said that is the last material they will be releasing with him. Hmm. So stay tuned.
Are they not touring on this? Are they not going to, like, if
you... No, I guess it was previously recorded at some point, and then they made a video for it. Hmm. But very spooky video, just in time for Halloween.
Spooky, yeah.
NSFW.
Very NSFW. Did not watch this video at work.
There were gore, there were themes, there was nudity.
There was nudity, I saw a boob. Very upsetting. Very upsetting. Matt, what's going on?
What is going on? Hockey's going on again.
Hell yeah. I haven't seen any hockey.
Well, it's just preseason.
I don't watch preseason hockey. I'll watch it in December.
No, you're one of those people. You're a hockey fan that doesn't watch until after... After the NFL's done.
After the NFL's done.
Gross.
I mean, I'm sorry.
But yes, as I mentioned earlier, I would say that the Rays, Tampa Bay Rays, the greatest story. See, the A's, yeah, the A's got all the puff pieces.
Sure.
But the Rays started off, what, like 2-13 or whatever?
Yep.
And just this week, they clinched their first winning record since 2013, which is the last time they went to the playoffs.
Congratulations.
They have the best record in September.
Oh, yeah.
And they got themselves back into the playoff race.
I heard you're like the Dan Duquette of the Tampa Bay Rays. You're trying to come up with all these factors that make them better.
So you know all those basketball people that complain about the playoff system?
Matt Moore metrics about why the Rays are actually
good. How about win-loss record? That's a pretty solid metric, right?
Yeah.
The Rays had the 7th best record in all of baseball.
Fair enough. And they were playing...
And they're not going to make the playoffs.
And they were in the same division as the team with the most wins.
Yes, exactly. And so, yeah. But anyway, there were columns.
What's the Rays payroll this year? That's what I want to know.
Well, it matters more. Like at the moment, it's approximately $26 million.
Okay, what's the Sox payroll? You think 160 something?
At least, I think it's around 160, 180 for their 25
man.
That's
bonkers. That's so crazy.
It's absurd.
So crazy that the MLB makes any sense at all.
Well, the thing is that there were columns that literally like people our age like had lost their minds over the Rays offseason and like the trades and things like that, and said that they were tanking, they were disgraced to baseball, and none of those people. Aside from their own beat guy who kind of said the same thing originally, none of those people have come back and said, oh, I guess we were wrong. Because
guess we're wrong. Got to eat a little crow here on Brutal Brunch.
They have better... At one point, they had a better record than the Nationals.
Yep.
They were tied with the Dodgers at one point. Better record than the Giants, to whom they traded Evan Longoria.
Another huge market team, too, right? I mean, the Giants and the Dodgers, for Christ's sakes. I mean, I was going to originally throw my allegiance away from the Red Sox when they didn't give those...
Well, want to talk about that? Do you have a take on that story?
I do.
We probably don't need to recap it for people at this point.
No, the take is it's hilarious. These two guys like basically stole a flag and then like tried to blackmail the Red Sox on TV by being like, we did the right thing here. So there's two guys from Malden. I don't even remember their names, really.
Iacuzzi or something like that. One of them.
And another guy. And they're like, yeah, we fell off a truck and I found it. And
people
anyway,
running over it.
This is the original. People running over it. This is the only one they got.
Well, it's hilarious, how the story changed. Because initially, like, they found it, and they were just like, we just want to give it right back.
Yeah.
And no questions. And then all of a sudden, the Boston Globe had produced a professionally produced video with them.
And they were like, we did the right thing. We hope the Red Sox do the right thing. Like, he might as well be making the money sign with his hands. And then the outcome of the story was they just gave it back.
They got nothing in return.
They got nothing.
And the police are investigating them.
They stole it. But, like, in fairness to those guys, I guess allegedly, right? They allegedly stole it. But, like, it's so silly. Like, what are you thinking? Like, say it's true. Say it's true, right? Like, I don't know what these guys actually did. Say they, like, stole this thing. Why go on the news and try to get something out of it? Like, what are you holding the kids hostage? What are you holding Tom Henry's kids hostage?
Trying to get the public support, maybe?
I mean, they got my support because I thought it was the funniest story I'd ever seen all day. And I was like, that's hilarious. The Red Sox should do something... Even if they stole it, you know, they should do something for these guys because they're funny. But I think digging a little bit deeper into them, they have, like, pretty problematic past, pretty lengthy rap sheets, as I've seen, reported. So maybe not the nicest guys to be de facto mascots for, I guess, our region of Massachusetts, Malden/Melrose/Medford. Sad story. Tragic.
It is unfortunate. All right, we just got two quick things to blog. Did you have anything else you wanted to get to this week?
Nothing particular comes to mind. I'm going pumpkin picking this morning. Ooh. Seems like a good time. I haven't
gonna make some jack o' lanterns.
Years.
Hear that? That's an actual print newspaper. Matt, did you know that on Monday, September 10th, a suspicious motor vehicle reportedly driving slowly on a property off Route 99 around 7:15 p.m., the Witchenawa, turned out to be a driver with a learner's permit being taught how to drive in an empty parking lot.
Yeah, I'm calling the cops on that guy 10 times out of 10. What are you doing on Route 99 driving, you know?
What are you on Route 99?
What are you doing?
Friday, September 14th, a man in a yard near a Howard Street residence turned out to be a surveyor working for someone on Windsor Street around 12:40 p.m.
The Witchenawa.
I mean, these crimes are taking place.
What is going on
after dark,
streets?
Clearly in shady places.
12:40 p.m. I love Melrose so much. It's such a wacky town. My dad's looking to move, but he wants to stay in Melrose, and we're like, oh, you can get an apartment. I'm like, you could, but it's like you get a $600,000 condo that's like 100 square feet, I guess. Like, it's out of control. I don't know what they did. That can't be like that forever. Anyway, that's my Melrose real estate rant for the.
You guys are bringing it up. You have a chance to speak at the polls coming up in November.
That's true. Well, I mean, the
municipal races.
The polls have nothing to do with demand. Like, I can't change that.
But you should run on that platform. The rent is too damn high.
The rent is too damn high. That's not true.
All right. Play another song.
Hell yes.
Some more new music from the band Forn. This album just dropped, called Rites of Despair, yesterday. And we'll play you Altar of Moss, Lichen, and Blood. They issued a statement about this album. They explain, our first proper full length is a physical and a sonic embodiment of a collective torturous journey. We have carved our pound of flesh and put it to music for all to devour.
Wow.
Uh-oh, there's a typo in the statement.
Uh-oh.
But it is our pound of flesh, a rotting, enveloping evolution of isolation, misery, loneliness, detachment, derealization, and depersonalization. Rites of Despair is a manifestation and accumulation of weariness and dread brought on the wings of inward isolation, a recoiling from a world barren of empathy, void of morality.
Jeez,
sort of like Melrose. For these very reasons, we hold this art.
That's what they wrote after they saw that guy driving on Route 99. They're like, this world is barren.
For these very reasons, we hold this art. We've created dearly to us. It is both a way of processing the failings of existence that can truthfully be hurtful to the very essence of you, but also as a way of freeing from the weight of those experiences. That weight, that flesh lies and waits to be consumed. We hope it's proper sustenance to fuel a growing loneliness and despondency in us all. Our future is lush with melancholy. Metal Injection, hire a proofreader. I'm available. And this is Altar of Moss, Lichen, and
Matt can write sad stuff. Let him write sad stuff.
Off of Rites of Despair, brand new stuff from Forn. been listening to Brutal Brunch here on WMFO Medford 91.5. I'm streaming live on WMFO.org. That's a truncated version of Altar of Moss, Lichen, and Blood from the brand new album by Foreign called Rites of Despair. And we're going to jump. We're going to play one last song for you. You can see Begat the Nephilim this week.
Yay.
Playing with Arcspire. Also playing with Obscura, the big Obscura show. Go see it at the Palladium on Tuesday. And yeah, gonna play you our boys. And where are they from? Because I got this wrong before.
I think they're from New York.
No, they're from New Hampshire.
I don't think so.
What?
I think they're from New York.
They got the Nephilim? No, they're from New England.
So. I don't believe so.
We had an argument about this last time, whether they were from Rhode Island or New Hampshire.
I can look it up.
Anyway.
Let's say New Hampshire.
It's too late for that. Stay tuned for Mike on the Mic. This is Cardboard Casket. Off of Begat's recent album, released earlier this year, called One, The Surreptitious Prophecy / Mother of the Blasphemy. And this Cardboard Casket, which they also have a video for, another spooky video for you all. You've been listening to Brutal Brunch, WMFO Med for 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. You'll see you maybe next weekend? I don't know when. But until then, stay brutal.
Whoa.